Thank you. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus, please. Exodus chapter 7. I'd like to take this moment to thank all those that are a part of our rostered ministry. We have a new roster for the coming couple months. So if you don't have a copy of your roster, there are some available there in the foyer. Okay, so please make sure that you grab one so you know when you're on. And thank you to all those that have chosen to serve in this very valuable ministry. Our monthly theme is on the subject of miracles. Miracles. Miracles of purpose within the scriptures. That's our message this morning. Let's read verses 8 down to verse 12. Exodus chapter 7, verses 8 to 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you. Then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt. And they also did in like manner with their enchantments. And they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Let's bow for prayer. Oh God, we're so thankful that we can look and live in the person of Jesus Christ. I pray that you teach us from your word this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask and pray. Amen. Within this passage of Scripture, we have the first mention of the word miracle in the Bible. Moses is commissioned to stand before Pharaoh. And God said to Moses, if Pharaoh happens to ask or request a miracle, that you are to cast your rod before him and it will turn into a snake. And in this passage of Scripture, we see the magicians did likewise. But verse number 12 tells us, For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. So we see that the magicians did likewise, but Moses' rod swallowed up all the rods that belonged to the magicians. The Bible is a miracle book. It's a miracle book about our supernatural God. The miracles in the scriptures affirm the authority of God's word. That is one chief purpose in a miracle, to affirm the authority of the Word of God. So as God enabled Moses to perform a miracle before Pharaoh, it was to affirm authority, that the God of the heavenlies is a God of great authority. And also within a miracle, God also reveals the fact that he is all-powerful. His authority, his power, that he is the all-powerful God. And we see that in verse number 12, that from Aaron's rod, serpent consumed all of the other serpents, proving that he is more powerful. And also within a miracle, the supernatural, God not only establishes his authority and he establishes the fact that he is all-powerful in performing a miracle or allowing a miracle to take place, but also miracles have the purpose of affirming that the God of the Bible is the one true and living God. So these are key ingredients to any miracle. And we see these principles within this passage of Scripture. Moses needed an authority in order to lead God's people out of Egypt. Miracle. Pharaoh had to be convinced that the God of Moses was powerful, the powerful God, and therefore I need to listen to him. Miracle. And also Moses, by performing this miracle before Pharaoh, affirmed to Pharaoh that my God is the authoritative God, my God is the all-powerful God, and my God is the one and true living God. So miracles within the Bible have purpose. Every miracle of God recorded in the Word of God has a purposeful end. And it's important that we bear that in mind. Every miracle of God recorded in the Word of God has a purposeful end. When Nicodemus paid a visit to the Lord Jesus at night, there in John chapter 3, verse number 2, he said to our Lord, "For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." So every miracle of God recorded within the Holy Scriptures, from Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation, has a purposeful end. And it is important that you and I understand this very fact when we study the miracles of the Bible. And not to take the miracles of the Bible for granted. It proves, each miracle proves that we serve a supernatural God who is authoritative, who is all-powerful, who is the one true and living God. But as you go through the different books of the Bible, we see a different element of purpose when it comes to the miracles that are recorded. So I'd like to just glean this morning throughout the pages of the Old Testament and just highlight some of the purposeful ends in a miracle, that you and I might read of the miracles and not just take them for granted, but stop and meditate. And as our yearly theme spells out, study, consider with diligence the miracles of the Bible and the purposeful end for each miracle. For example, in Genesis, we have the miracle of creation. Note there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible reads, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." So in Genesis we have the miracle of creation. God spoke the world into existence, out of nothing. Hebrews 11:3 reads, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." So what is the purposeful end in creation? Well, Psalm 19, verse 1 reads, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Creation reflects God's glory. His word is authoritative. God is all-powerful. He is the one and true living God. God is glorified in his creation. Creation points us to God. The heavens declare the glory of God. So as we consider the miracle of creation within the book of Genesis and throughout the Bible, we are drawn to the glory of God. To glorify means to highlight, to focus upon. So creation points men, women, and children to the Creator. That is the purpose of creation. So when we consider the miracle of creation, we are mindful that there is a purposeful end in the miracle of creation, that God spoke the world into existence. He used six literal 24-hour days. He spoke by the word of God, the Bible teaches us. By the word of God, the worlds were framed. That's a miracle. And it points us to God is worthy of glory. And we are to glorify God. So one means or one purpose of miracles is to bring glory to God. And when God performs a miracle in your life, what should be our response? Glory to God. Glory to God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Salvation, regeneration is a miracle. How God has changed our lives. Glory to God. Glory to God. So in Genesis, we have the miracle of creation to reflect the glory of God. If we were to turn to the book of Exodus, please, chapter 14. Go to Exodus chapter 14. In Exodus chapter 14, there are a number of miracles within the book of Exodus, just like most of the books within the Old Testament, outside of the prophets. There are a number of miracles we can highlight. But for the sake of time, we'll only just glean a miracle or two here and there. But note here in Exodus chapter 14, verse number 22. In Exodus, we have the miracle of the crossing of the Red Sea on dry ground. Note there in Exodus 14, verse 22. "And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left." So in Exodus we have the miracle of the crossing of the Red Sea on dry ground. God delivers his people out of Egypt with the goal of leading them to the promised land. And when I think of this miracle, I am mindful of the purposeful end of deliverance. We serve a God of deliverance. God is able to do above and beyond that which we might ask or think. God is a God of deliverance. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 13, it talks about there is no temptation or testing that is taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will enable us to bear. And he promises to provide what? A way of escape. And just like God provided a way of escape for the nation of Israel through the Red Sea on dry ground, the Bible teaches us, our God is a God of miracles. And he is a God of deliverance. And God can deliver you. God can deliver me from that difficult situation, that testing time, whatever that situation might be in your life. We serve a God of miracles, a God of deliverance. He's a God of deliverance. In the book of Numbers, we see the miracle of healing. Go to Numbers chapter 21, please. Numbers chapter 21. In Numbers, we see the miracle of healing, the healing of those that were dying of these poisonous snake bites. Note there in Numbers 21, verses 8 and 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. The miracle of healing. The healing of those that were bitten by these poisonous snakes. And go to John chapter 3, please. The Gospel of John chapter 3. Our Lord, as he witnessed to Nicodemus that evening, he said to him in verse number 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Just like those Israelites that were bitten by these poisonous snakes, had to look to that brazen serpent upon the pole. So likewise, you and I, in order to have God's healing, God's forgiveness of sin, we need to look to Jesus Christ. And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In Numbers, we see the miracle of healing. For those that were dying of poisonous snake bites, they were simply to look. We need to look to Jesus Christ for our salvation. And may I remind you, Christian, we need to keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ. We look to Christ initially for salvation, but we need to keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ. See, Simon Peter began to sink in the waters of the Galilee when he took his eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. And so likewise, you and I will begin to sink if we take our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When I think of the miracle of healing here in Numbers, I am mindful of the fact that we need to keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ. We need to keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ. So when God performs a miracle in your life, may it be an encouragement to refocus your eyes upon Jesus Christ, because it's so easy to wander, is it not? Yes, it is. Seems like young children are attracted to the fans. I see it time and time again over the years. When they begin to look around, it's always up. They love the fans. It's just how it is for the little child. They're distracted by the fans. Or they're attracted by the fans, I should say. They're not distracted, they're attracted by the fans. And may we be attracted by Jesus Christ. May we be attracted by Jesus Christ. And when we read of the miracles in the Scriptures, may it encourage us to refocus upon Jesus Christ. May it remind us of His glory. May it encourage us that God will provide a way of escape. Let's go to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 6. In verse number 20. In Joshua chapter 6, verse number 20. In the book of Joshua, we see the miracle of the walls of Jerusalem, of Jericho, pardon me, collapsing at the shout of the people. Verse number 20, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. So in Joshua we see the miracle of the walls of Jericho collapsing at the shout of the people. Obedience is the only policy, even when it doesn't make sense. When I think of miracles, when I think of this miracle here in the book of Joshua, how they were called upon to march around the wall once a day for six, and then on day number seven times, and then the priest were to blow the trumpet, and the people were to shout, and the walls fell flat, the Bible teaches us, a miracle. And I'm just reminded that miracles point me to Jesus Christ, point me to the fact that I just need to obey God, even though it might not make much sense at times. I just need to obey Him, and God will perform a miracle. And when God performs a miracle in your life and in my life, may it remind us of His glory. May it point us to the God of the heavenlies. May it remind us of His deliverance. May it cause us to focus upon our God, and may those miracles remind us of the importance of obedience to God's word, even when it doesn't make sense. Obedience. In the book of Judges, chapter 6, please. Judges chapter 6. In Judges, we see Gideon leading 300 men in defeating the Midianites. Judges chapter 6, verse number 13 and 14. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all His miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So Gideon's a little bit discouraged. Verse 13, And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Then go to chapter 7, please. Verse number 23. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. So we read here that God gave Gideon and his men victory. From 32,000 to 300 men, 300 quality men, God gave them victory over the Midianites. And when I think of this miracle, I'm mindful of the fact that God uses the weak. God uses the weak that no flesh will glory in His presence. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29. That's why God often uses the weak, the foolish, and the base. God uses the wise sometimes. There are some wise. But more often than not, God uses the weak. God uses the foolish. God uses the base. To what end? That God might receive all the glory. That no flesh should glory in His presence. And we see that God used Gideon, who was a little bit discouraged, who felt unworthy to lead God's people. He asked the question, who am I? I come from a very small, insignificant people. Who am I? And God had to remind Gideon, it doesn't matter who you are. It's who I am that really matters. It's who I am. It's our God that matters. That's why God uses the foolish, the base, the weak, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So when I think of the miracles of the scriptures, it's all about God. It's who God is. That's what really matters. Look, if we were to turn to 1 Samuel, we'd see the miracle. A number of miracles there in 1 Samuel. What about the miracle in little David defeating Goliath with a sling and one smooth stone? He was bold enough to say to Goliath, you come to me with swords and shields, etc., but I come to you in the name of the Lord. See, God uses the unlikely. God uses the obscure. God uses the least expected. God is able to do above and beyond that which we might ask or think. And when I think of a miracle, may it remind us of the fact that God is God. And it's all about what all that God is. It's not about you. Not about me. Your Facebook page is about you. Yeah, it's about you. Selfish you. You're diligent to post on that things about you. Why? Because you're selfish. That's why you've got a Facebook page. You think that everybody thinks about you. But may I remind you, they don't really care about you. They care about themselves. So they have a Facebook page. And they post on their Facebook page things about them. Yes, them, because they're thinking about themselves. Oh, but Pastor, I've got all these friends on Facebook. You know, I've got all these friends. Plastic friends. You call them friends? No. They don't really care about you. They care about themselves. See? Hey, God loves you. God cares about you. God's interested in you. And God is able to do above and beyond that which we might ask or think in your life and my life because He is God. And God uses the unlikely. God uses the least expected. God is able to use anybody, anything. And God used David to defeat Goliath because God is able. Wonderful God. The book of 1 Kings, please. Let's go to 1 Kings. First Kings chapter 18, verses 38 and 39. Hope I didn't offend you by mentioning your Facebook page and saying that you're selfish because you've got one. Somebody needs to tell you. Be honest with you. Mummy won't, Daddy won't because they don't want to offend you, but I'm pastor here, so I love you and I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. Amen. Selfishness. That's what it is. Anyway, let's get back to our sermon. 1 Kings chapter 18. Verses 38 and 39. Elijah on Mount Carmel. Verse 38 it reads, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. What a wonderful miracle here in 1 Kings. We see the miracle of Elijah there on Mount Carmel. The Lord God of Elijah is the one and true living God. The people cried out in verse 39, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And that's what Elijah's name means. Yahweh is God. That was his whole testimony as a prophet, Elijah. My God is the one true and living God. And there on Mount Carmel, it was without doubt that the Lord, He is God. And the people cried out, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And beloved, every miracle that God performs points us to the fact that our God is the one and true and living God. Every conversion, every changed life, every answer to prayer that we would say a miracle points us to the fact that our God is the one and true living God. In 2 Kings, we have the miraculous healing of the leprous Captain Naaman, who dipped in the Jordan River 7 times there in 2 Kings chapter 5. According to the word of Elisha, Elisha said you need to dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Initially, Naaman resisted. He said, what about my rivers? What about rivers in my land? They're far cleaner than the Jordan. But he eventually humbled himself and he dipped 7 times in the Jordan River. And the Bible teaches us he was healed of his leprosy. Humility. Miracles should humble us. When you see God perform a miracle, when you witness a miracle in your life, it should be humbling because it reminds us how little I am, but how big is God. And all of God's people said, who are we? Lord, I couldn't have done that. You've done that. Humbling. Humbling. Miracles should humble us. Humble us. Look, if we had time, we'd go to 2 Chronicles. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, we have the miraculous deliverance of God's people from the hand of the Assyrians. Hezekiah was king, and the Assyrians surrounded Jerusalem. Hezekiah prayed. Isaiah the prophet prayed. And the Bible teaches us during the course of the night that an angel came through and killed 185,000 Assyrians. And when the sun arose the next morning, there were 185,000 dead corpses, Assyrian corpses, scattered all around the outside of Jerusalem. And what did God's people have to do with that? Nothing. God worked in spite of God's people. Hezekiah prayed. Isaiah prayed. God works. God works in spite of us, does he not? During the night, an angel of the Lord went about and slew 185,000 Assyrians. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35. Write that down. Wonderful story. Miracle. Miracles should remind us of the fact, beloved, listen to me, God works in spite of us. God doesn't need me. God doesn't need you. God can work in spite of us. I think at times we convince ourselves that God needs us. No, He doesn't. No, He doesn't. God doesn't need me. Now, if I'm humble and willing, God might use me. But does God need me? Does God really need you? No. In the book of Ezra, we have the miracle of the heart stirring of King Cyrus. Just out of the blue, you say. That God gave a desire for King Cyrus to allow God's people to go back to Jerusalem and build the temple? That was just a coincidence? No. That was a miracle of God. A miracle of God. I think of the book of Nehemiah. We have the miracle of the completion of the wall in 52 days. God can make us very productive. Yes, He can. Miracle. Miracle. What about the book of Esther? We have the miracle of the preservation of God's people that were facing genocide. God is sovereign. He is in control. He reigns. Esther has queen. Mordecai was honored. And Haman was eventually hanged. A miracle. How God preserved this people from genocide. It's a miracle. The sovereignty of God. And just when you feel like things are getting out of control, may I remind you, God is still in control. Amen. He's sovereign. He is in control of Australia. God has blessed our nation. Yes, He has. We have a Christian heritage. We really do. Out of our first seven governors, four of them were committed Christians. Four. Hunter, Macquarie, Brisbane, Darling, Ralph Darling. You've heard of Darling Harbour? Yeah. Ralph and Elizabeth Darling were committed Christians. Brisbane propagated the fact that we need to win Aboriginals to Jesus Christ. Darling put it in writing. He commissioned his government to win these people to Jesus Christ and to teach them to live right and to look after themselves. Our God is sovereign. In the poetical books, we have many references to the miracles of God. Psalm 66:5 reads, "Come and see the works of God." Many references to miracles in the poetical books, especially the Psalms. Miracles are few in the prophetic books. One man said, "It would seem that the prophets and what they endured were God's miraculous signs to the people of Israel." For example, Jeremiah performed no recorded miracle, but he did experience the miraculous effect of God's word in his life that gave him the grace to endure very difficult circumstances with a burning message in his heart. Isaiah witnessed the miracle of God's presence in Isaiah chapter 6. He saw the glory of God before him. Ezekiel witnessed the miracle, the valley of dry bones that came to life. A prophecy concerning the regathering of the nation of Israel back in the land of Israel. In the book of Daniel, God is in the midst of the furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. A miracle. In the book of Jonah, we read that Jonah survives 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish. Miracles. Miracles. Beloved, as we study the miracles recorded in the scriptures, we need to be mindful that each miracle has a purpose for our admonition. And may this encourage us to take seriously, not to take for granted, the miracles recorded in the scriptures. They reflect God's glory. They remind us of His deliverance. They help us to focus or refocus, I should say. We're reminded that we just need to obey God even when it doesn't make sense. God's miracles remind us of the fact that God uses the unlikely. God uses the weak. God performs miracles to remind us that He is the one and true and living God. We read of miracles and we're mindful that He is sovereign. And the list goes on and on. Miracles with purpose. The Bible is a miracle book about a miraculous God. He's my God. Is He your God? I trust He is. He can become your God by faith and by faith alone. And as God's people, we can look to Him to perform the miraculous. Beloved, do you need a miracle at the moment? Do you need a miracle? That's God's speciality. Amen. One of our memory verses there in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. That's powerful wording. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all, that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. To what end? Verse 21, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. As we study the miracles within the Scriptures, may we be reminded that every miracle has a purpose. It's purposeful. To remind us, to teach us, to encourage us. To reshape us, to fine-tune us, to challenge us. And even rebuke us from time to time. May we value the miracles within the Scriptures. Don't take them for granted. They establish His authority. They remind us that God is all-powerful and that He is the one and true and living God. And all of God's people said, let's bow for prayer.